Lord is indeed a blessed Redeemer and Savior, Friend, King, and Lord. Turn, if you would, to the 9th chapter of Acts. On Sunday mornings, we've been studying through the book of Acts. And this series is entitled, What's Next? God always has a what's next. No matter where you are in life, what your circumstance happens to be, God has a what's next. He'll never leave you alone. He'll never say, you know what, I'm finished with you, I'm through. He always has a what's next. So today, we're going to study in the 9th chapter through the 11th chapter and address the matter of what's next when opportunities arise. Let me just say a couple words of introduction. Turn to Acts chapter 9. You know, opportunities are all around us. In fact, opportunities are what dreams are made of. If there were no opportunities, what would life be like? Yet we often miss opportunities. Seneca said, luck is where opportunity meets preparation. So today we are going to give attention to preparing for the opportunities that the Almighty God has appointed for us to experience. So we're going to look at the pattern of biblical opportunities and these few verses in Acts. There is a pattern, as we will see. So let's first of all look at the opportunity of Peter at Lydda. Acts chapter 9, begin with verse 32. Acts 9, beginning with verse 32. Now, as Peter was traveling through all those regions, I mean, he was just moving, wasn't he? He came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take your bed. Immediately he got up, and get this, and all who lived at Lydda and Sharon, basically the larger area, the valley that runs up the Mediterranean coast, saw him and they turned to the Lord. What an incredible opportunity Peter had at Lydda. Here he is, he's just making his way in the area. And he comes across a paralyzed man. And what did Peter do? He immediately seized the opportunity. He said to Aeneas, he said, get up. I say to you, take up your bed. And he is healed. And the scripture says that everyone, all the folks at Lydda, turned to the Lord. Now, you're talking about an opportunity. Whoa, what an incredible opportunity. And it just happened as he was making his way through the region. Now let's go to our second. The opportunity of Peter at Joppa. Look, if you will, at chapter 9, begin with verse 36. There are four of these. I want us to give each consideration. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 36. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, in preparation for death, of course, and burial, they laid it in an upper room. Now skip to verse 40. But Peter, after he was sent and summoned, but Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, rise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. And calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Now get this. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now, here's Peter. He's making his way through the region. He just provide a healing ministry to Aeneas, and he continues on toward the coast, and he enters Joppa, which is a seaport community. And as he made his way into Joppa, he was escorted in because he was a man of some notoriety. I mean, this is Peter. And so they took him to a dear sister in Christ who served the Lord with faithfulness, but she had died. And what did Peter do? He seized the opportunity. I mean, he was just making his way to town. I mean, he had no idea there was a lady by the name of Dorcas who just dropped dead. But he makes his way into town, summoned to go to Dorcas. And what did Peter do? He dropped down, he prayed, and he said, "Tabitha, arise." And what happened? Tabitha came back to life again, and word spread throughout all Joppa. And did you hear that many people believed? Many people were added from a life destined to hell to a life now in heaven as a result of what God had done through this incredible opportunity. Wow. Wow. What an opportunity. Now let's look at our third, the opportunity of Peter at Caesarea. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Hang in there with us as we go through these. Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, Peter had a vision. I'll describe that in a moment ago. He was contemplating, reflecting on the vision. The Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself." God was creating an opportunity. Look at verse 45 and let's see what happens. Chapter 10, verse 45. All the circumcised believers, meaning the Jewish believers, who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Now, here's what's happening. So Peter, he's just making his way through the region. He comes across an ass, and he heals him, and everyone in Lydda turns. And then he goes into Joppa, and they summons him to Dorcas because she was a very noted lady who served God and was very committed, and she had dropped dead. Peter comes in and says, "Okay, you know what? Come back to life. Arise." And so she did, and many people believed, and now he makes his way to a home on the sea. And it was the home of a man who was a tanner. And Peter was somewhat comfortable with that profession because he was a tent maker, and tent makers and tanners worked in leather. So he kind of connected with this man and stayed in his home. And a vision occurred. Many of you know the story quite well, but here's the essence. Peter has a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven with all kind of animals on the sheet. And Peter, first of all, wasn't certain what's happening here, but soon he figures it out because God was giving him a message to prepare him for the opportunity that was at hand. You see, this was God's opportunity. You see, God had staged this encounter. This was the will and the plan of God, and the vision comes down, and the meaning of the vision was quite simple. Do not believe that anyone is an untouchable. Everyone has the mind and the heart of God. And so as he's having this vision, there is a knock on the door. Three men who are Romans summons Peter and says, "Peter, we were sent by Cornelius, a Roman military leader. And he has asked us to bring you to Caesarea, right up the coast, and to speak with him." And so what does Peter do? He seizes the opportunity. I mean, this is the will of God, the plan of God. God had revealed. Listen, this is my intent for you. Here's an opportunity, Peter, that I have created for you. Peter otherwise really wouldn't have made his way up to Caesarea and entered a Roman's home. But because this was the will and the intent of God, he obeyed. He made his way up to Caesarea Maritime. Many of us have been there. It's a beautiful city. At that time, it was really the capital, the Roman capital of Judea, not the Jewish capital, which was Jerusalem, but this was the Roman capital. So he makes his way up and walks into Cornelius's home. And you know what Cornelius wants from him? Just to know about Jesus. I mean, just to know about God. He wants to know the truth. And God had revealed to him that a man named Peter could tell him the truth. So Peter simply witnesses, and not only does Cornelius believe in Jesus, what happens? His entire family believed. They're all baptized, and now these were the first Gentile converts to the faith. Wow. Man, what an opportunity. Now let's go to the fourth. The opportunity of believers at Antioch. Turn to chapter 11. Acts 11, beginning with verse 19. Acts 11, beginning with verse 19. So then those who were scattered, Christians, believers, Christ followers, and then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen, we studied that a couple weeks ago, made their way to Phoenicia and to Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. I mean, they were pretty frightened. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Did you hear that? A large number of people of Antioch turned to the Lord. Now here's what's happening. Persecution occurred in Jerusalem because some of the leaders of the day were not pleased that the Christian movement was unfolding as it was. As you recall from our studies earlier, that Stephen was the first martyr and Saul was there initiating a pretty significant period of persecution against believers. Well, the believers began to scatter, and some of them made their way as far as Antioch, and some to Damascus. I mean, they really were spreading a long way. You're talking about trying to get out of the basic area. I mean, they really got out of town. But where they went, what did they do? They seized the opportunity. You'll say, well, wait a minute. This opportunity was caused because of persecution. They were running and fleeing from those who would wish them harm, of course. But as they went, they seized the opportunity. And they told folks, even Gentile, the Greeks, about the Lord Jesus. And what does it say? It says that a large number turned to the Lord. Wow. Wow. What incredible opportunity. Now, let's talk about seizing God's appointed opportunities, because in this segment of the book of Acts, we see a pattern develop. There are some things that seem to be common among these opportunities that we need to consider for ourselves. Let's look at them. First of all, seize opportunities as you go through life. I mean, Peter and the believers, I mean, they're just going on with life. You know, some people state that you have to make your opportunities. Well, I'm not going to get into a fuss or an arm wrestling match, but I will say this, not with Jesus.
Because the Lord's going to provide you all the opportunities that you need. Why? Because He's your Lord. Why? Because He's got a plan for your life. Why? There is a will and a purpose for you. And God's going to lead you and navigate you. He will create the opportunities that you need.
I like the way Truett Cathy, the late Truett Cathy, had to clarify the matter. This is what he said. Nearly every moment of every day, we have the opportunity to give something to someone else. Our time, our love, our resources.
I mean, there's opportunities everywhere, every day, at every moment. I mean, here was Peter. He was just traveling toward the western area, and there he came across Aeneas, and there he came across Dorcas, and there he came across folks that summoned him to Caesarea. It was amazing. He was just going by his day. And then the believers, when they were persecuted, they were on the run, and they were trying to make life happen for them in various locations outside of Jerusalem. They were making life unfold, and there they seized opportunities. God has opportunities for you. This is not unique to them. God has a purpose and a plan for every single one of you there today. And part of that is an opportunity that He lays before us. But we must seize them. You see, we must seize them as we go through life.
Dr. Jimmy Allen, a former pastor of the First Baptist Church, San Antonio, Texas, told this about a missed opportunity in his church. He said there was a little boy that sat through Sunday school classes for 3 years. Here he was at the great, distinguished, noted First Baptist Church, San Antonio, Texas. 3 years he attended Sunday school. But somehow, the church missed him. His name was Saran Saran. And at the age of 24, he shot and killed Senator Robert Kennedy. Dr. Allen says the thing that just continues to reoccur in his mind, a bit of a haunting memory, if you will, someone missed him. Someone missed him. Someone missed him. You see, God has opportunities for us. And the opportunities are all about us. We just don't recognize them oftentimes, but we must. Listen, it is absolutely essential that we seize the opportunities that God sends us. We have to recondition ourselves, retool our thinking, so that when God sends opportunities, we recognize them because they're everywhere. Next, seize opportunities without hesitation. We must be ready to take action immediately. Now, let me tell you about my nature. This is my personality type. I like to set back, think things through, evaluate and analyze them, and then consider the options. I'm just saying, that's my personality. When I went through psychological testing, and yes, I have, to be one of your missionaries years ago, I didn't do it because I was on an edge, on a bridge, ready to jump over. I've been close to a bridge, but I've not yet quite reached the apex there. But when I went through these series of psychological tests, they revealed some things about me that I guess I just never paid much attention to. I'm not a quick striker. I like to respond and not react, and that's not so much a character virtue, it's just how I'm wired. And so I sit back, and something comes along the way. I say, okay, wait a minute, do I want to do that or not? Now, if I do this, this could happen. I might do that, but you know. And you know what happens? I spend so much time thinking that the opportunity passes me by. Now, I suspect I'm not the only one here that has had that challenge. Now, some of you jump before God gives you an opportunity. But I'm saying God will give us opportunities in life. Your life has purpose. Your life has meaning. Your life is significant. You are on this earth as a believer in Christ for a reason. He gives us so many opportunities. And these, you see, navigate us through life. These are what steers and directs us as we go through the course of our lives. There's always a what's next.
But so oftentimes we get so much into ourselves that we miss it. You know, we are often God's answer to other people's prayers. You see, no doubt there's grandmothers here that are praying for their grandkids. And so I want to hear a witness. Yes or no? Amen or amen? Anybody? We have a lot of grandmamas. And I love grandmamas to pray for me too. Amen? Because they just don't leave God alone. They ain't going to do it. And I don't want them to. By the way, we need some granddaddies and some moms and dads and grandchildren to do the very same. But you see, some of us here are actually the answers to grandmoms and granddads and moms and dads and children praying, God, help my daddy. Please help my daddy. Dear God, as I fold my hands and bow before this bed, please help my mommy. You see, some of us are the answer that God has provided. God says, I will hear, I will answer. I hear, I acknowledge those prayers. I'm concerned, I'll move, I'll take action. And then he puts us in the right place at the right time. Now you need to start thinking of yourself in those terms. Because so many here say, you know, it's not me. I don't think God could ever use me. I'm going to talk about you in a minute. Okay? I'm going to just flat out talk about you before we stop the day. But if that's you, you're going to miss everything. I want you to know that if you are a believer in Jesus, you are a Christ follower, then you are, not might be, not could be, not maybe one of these days, you are now a part of the answer of someone else's prayers. The plan and purpose of God. To quit thinking so little of yourself. You're a child of God, a follower of Jesus. You're not a nothing. Jesus bled on Calvary and gave his life, not for nothing, but for people he loves. Seize opportunities without hesitation. Number third, seize one opportunity and another will come. Or we could say one opportunity often leads to another. You see, life is a series of opportunities. God has established one opportunity and then another, another, and another. And he's directing you and navigating you through life to fulfill his purpose and plan for you. Now you may think, well, okay, if there's so many opportunities, as you indicate there are, then I guess I could miss one. I mean, there's all that many. I mean, there's multiple opportunities for the day. I guess I could just miss one, and it'd be all right. Well, let me tell you about missing one. You got to understand that one oftentimes builds on another. You saw that play out in our biblical narratives. You see, just like when the vision fell down to Peter, he heard and he listened, he considered. God was preparing him for the next opportunity. You see, life is a series of opportunities that God has put in your path. And you cannot miss one, and neither should I. Now, by God's grace, if we do, he has a way of redeeming us and getting us back on track. But we will suffer, and so will others. We cannot miss an opportunity. Because God has yet another point for us to move to. In 1269 AD, Kublai Khan, who was one of the most prolific conquistadors, if you will, of his day, the Mongols had defeated China and had established one of the largest empires of the day. And when he had conquered China, so you have the Mongols and the Chinese and their one empire, quite a prolific representation of Asia. He knew that matters of faith could be a certain value, and there was a Christian influence in his life, so he made contact with Rome, and this is what he said. 100 wise men... And this is what, here was his request. He requested 100 wise men of the Christian religion. And so I will be baptized, and when I shall be baptized, all my barren and great men will be baptized, and their subjects baptized, so that there will be more Christians here than there are there in your parts. Now, when Pope Gregory X received this correspondence, he sent two friars to respond. They made their way to Armenia, not 100, educated, well-prepared, seasoned men. He sends two friars up, and they get as far as Armenia, and because of just the environment, they lose heart and they turn back. Can you imagine if China became a Christian nation and was a Christian nation? Not only China, but almost all of Asia. Listen, this is one of the strongest areas of unreached people on the face of the earth. Some of the greatest persecution of Christians happening right now is occurring in Asia. But one decision is, I don't know, it's a long way over there. I don't know, dealing with those Mongols. I don't know, dealing with all the Chinese. I don't know about all that. We got all so much to see to at Rome. There's so many things we have to address. You see, one missed opportunity can impact the lives of others. It's a domino effect, if you will. It's a cascading effect in history. And when we miss one opportunity, it impacts the lives of one, and then another, and another, and another. But when we do seize the opportunity, oh, there is also this incredible movement of God, because God has a plan and purpose for your life. And your life is like mine. It's a series of opportunities. And when God puts them there, then we seize them. And when we seize them, another will come. And then another will come. And great and mighty things will result. In fact, this is our last point. Seizing opportunities will bring amazing results. Now, here's what our minds tend to do. Our minds tend to say, whoa, but. What if... No matter what if. What if? There's an opportunity there that God has placed before me, but I don't know. And then when we start rationalizing, as in a moment ago, we start kind of conjecturing. We tend to see the cup half empty. Well, what if the bottom drops out? Will there be a second level of hell, a worst hell? When people go to hell, it's dreadful. But when they go to heaven, it's glorious. You see, when God creates doors of opportunities, He does not create doors of opportunities for you to fail. It is not in the interest of God. It is not in the plan of God. He says, okay, guess what? I'm going to put you someplace, and I'm going to see you crash and burn. Now, I won't say it's easy. I won't say we never fail. But I'm saying that He is with us. No matter what happens, He is with us. And when we stumble a bit, what does He do? He redeems those failures, right? And brings good or bad out of them, church. He brings good out of even the tough spots of life. I mean, that's how amazing our God is. That's how glorious and sovereign and powerful our God is as He works through history. Amen? So don't worry about, well, I might mess up. I might step. I may tumble and fall. Don't worry about those things. It is God's will for great and mighty things to happen. Now let me get a little more specific here. Let's say for a moment, this week, not 10 weeks, this week, you see a person in need, maybe at work, maybe in your community, maybe in your family, maybe here at church, maybe as you go shopping, I don't know, maybe you're just going about like Peter, right? Just happen to be moving about. And there you see a person in need. Can you imagine what God can do with an encounter like that? I mean, just by healing one paralyzed man, all of Lydda trusted Christ. And you say, well, I don't see that happening, but God can do it. I mean, he can bring amazing results, because if you touch a life, then you touch a family. If you touch a family, you can touch another. And then you can touch a city and community. And oh, here's where the movement of God begins. What about inviting someone to church? You'll say, ah, that's not a big deal. You know, preacher, he gets into that all the time. Almost every Sunday, he stands up there, talks about those little cards he's so fond of at the exits of the church house. By the way, I am fond of the cards. Some of you are here because someone gave you a card. So I'm thinking I like the cards. Suppose for a moment you invite someone and they respond just by a simple invitation. They come to the house of God. They come and they study the Word of God. They hear the preaching of the Word of God. They experience an encounter with the Almighty God, because there's something about where two or three are gathered, God is in the midst. And there they experience God, and God changes their lives because you gave away a little old card. I'm thinking that's great, great results there. Amen. Can you imagine someone's eternity being changed? And it starts out by something as simple as a little card. Now, it takes more than a card, but I can tell you one thing. That card can be a key that will unlock a door where there's great, great, mighty things happening. I want you to imagine, if you would, you've got a family member. Doesn't give you much time, perhaps, much attention, but you know there's needs. Maybe you just serve your family member. You just serve them. Maybe you just do some act of kindness, right? Now, we all have some uncles that we would just soon not to have in the family tree. Maybe that's the one you need to do. I'm just saying, maybe. But maybe someone in your family is there, and you just do some act of kindness. Do you realize how little kindness is shown on people today in our day and time? I mean, can you imagine an act of kindness? Just maybe a smile or a warm text or email or message of Facebook. Maybe just sending them a flower or showing up and helping them on a project. Just do something. I mean, these persecuted Christians, oh, they were just trying to make life happen for themselves. But you know what they did? They just witnessed. Now, here's what I want you to see. Of the four encounters here, the four stories, the four narratives. One, there was a healing of a lame person. That's pretty impressive. We pray for a lot of sick folks here. That's the same ministry we do. Then there was raising from the dead. We've not yet raised anyone from the dead. We've had a couple deacons we've woken up out of their sleep, but we've never raised anyone from the dead. I'm sorry, deacons. I am the most deacon-supported person and pastor in the whole universe. Amen. I'm just trying to get back what I lost just a minute ago. But you know what? We believe people go from death to life here. The waters of baptistry indicate that, symbolize that. We believe that. We're into that. But the other two, you know what they did? You know what Peter did? Cornelius was out, just told him about Jesus. No healing, no raising of the dead. Just told him about Jesus. Do you know what the scattered believers did in Antioch? You know what they did? They just told him about Jesus. No miracle, no raising of the dead, nothing extraordinary, no walking on water, no incredible feat, no leaping buildings in a single bound. Just told them about Jesus. Two out of the four was nothing extraordinary, but it was seizing an opportunity that God had placed before them. And man, did great things happen if we would only obey. Now, there are three types of folks here today. Some people don't want an opportunity, and you may be one of them. I trust you're not, but listen carefully. There are some folks that say, I don't want an opportunity, preacher. I'm hearing what you're saying. I didn't come to get another opportunity. I came to worship, to have my little ticket stamped, and I'm out of here. I'm going to lunch, and I'll see you next week, maybe, or at least in the 2 or 3 weeks. Let me just say, some people, they do love themselves and they love their lives so well, they don't want any disruption. I hope that's not you, but I know there are some that say, you know what, I don't want any change in my life. I like my life the way it is now. And then there's some on the complete other end of the
spectrum, and they have been so hurt, and they're so damaged, they're so broken, they don't believe any opportunity could come their way. I mean, they've had so much mess and so much pain and hurt, they can never believe God would have an opportunity for them. Either way, whether you're on loving yourself end or whether you're on I'm completely broken end of the continuum, if you're here today and say, look, I didn't come for an opportunity. I don't want an opportunity. I don't want one this week. I just want to be left alone. Then you will leave here the way you came. You will leave here the way you came. Now, the second type of person here today are those that want an opportunity, but they're afraid to seize them. Oh, that sounds appealing. Wouldn't it be awesome if God really did have something for them this week? Oh, man, preacher, that would be awesome. I'd love it, but not going to happen to me. I'm just terrified. You see, these folks are terrified either because they have tried it and it didn't work. They have stepped out on faith, so they think, and they just didn't get the results they thought as quickly as they thought, the way they thought, and they said, you know, I'm not doing that again. Or maybe someone said, you know what? You're worthless. You're a no count. And you know what? You're damaged goods. There may be some of you here today who think you're so damaged good. You would love to have an opportunity. You would seize it if it would, but you're so terrified because you are damaged goods. You believe so in the eyes of God. God's holy and perfect. You know that. Then because you're not, you feel like you have been discarded. I want you to know that every bit of that is a lie. By the way, who is the originator of lies? Someone need to say it really loud. Satan is the author and the father of lies. And when you are a Christ follower, that is his power over you, is to deceive you. And if he can render you, lead you to that confession, I'm worthless, I'm damaged, I'm no good, I can never contribute, my life has no purpose, it never will, then you are rendered powerless. And you will leave the same way you came. I love you, but I got to tell you the truth. If that's you today, and you're so fearful of an opportunity, you will leave today the way you came. Now, the third type of person here today are those who want an opportunity and are willing to trust God for it. You see, you believe. You love the Lord. And you're not perfect. None of us are. But you believe the Word. You trust Him. And you yield to Him. You pray. You read the Bible. And you're into this. I mean, you're convicted. Your feet is firmly grounded. And you're not where you should be. But my, you're into this thing because you believe in Jesus. And you feel a bit of excitement by being here today. By hearing that God has a plan, again, though I preach on it all the time, but God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And He gets you there by opportunities. He doesn't write a memo or send you a text. He creates opportunities, and you go to that, and you go to that, and you go to this one and the next, and He navigates you through life. His Spirit leads you, you see, through opportunities. Some of you here today, and you needed to hear this, and this is for you. I hear folks when I stand out there, and I have always, by the way, you preached that to me today, preacher. Yes, I am. You know who I'm really preaching to, especially those who are listening. And you feel that, you know what, God very well may have an opportunity for you this week. And it's just not another sermon, just not another thing so you can go and get to lunch. But you really, really do believe the Word of God, that what was written of the Word of God is true for you today, and you are willing to accept it and apply it and to obey it, and you will leave here today looking now for opportunities. You're going to grab some of those cards until they're all gone, and we'll put some more out this next week. And you're going to take cards, and you're going to invite, and you're going to look for people in need, and you're going to pray for people, and you're going to reach out to people, and you're going to do an act of kindness. You're going to get into this thing because you believe it is God's will for your life. Let me tell you something. Get ready for some results. First of all, He's going to change you. I mean, He's going to light you up. And then He's going to minister and make a difference in the lives of others.
Now, that's who I want to pray for today. So let me do that. Father, you are so faithful. Lord, we just say that all the time because we believe it. You are supremely faithful. Your word is true. You do not deceive or lie. You do not discard. Lord, you do not walk away from your children. You don't give up on us. You don't turn your back. You don't walk away. You don't shake your head. But you are with us, leading us to that next opportunity. Lord, now may we be prepared by your word. Now may we be prepared for what you have to come this week. Change me, change us, God. May your will be done right here, right today. May this be the new beginning, a fresh start right here today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the preaching ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. We trust the Lord will show his mercy and grace to you. At Liberty, we believe everyone counts. Our motto is one church, all people. If there is a need in your life that we can meet, please contact us soon. Perhaps you need prayer for a personal matter. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you need spiritual counsel. We have trained staff to help you. Perhaps you're looking for a friendly church that bases its teaching and practice on the Bible. Then consider us your home church. You can contact us by phone at 770-461-5644. You may wish to learn more about the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church from our website. It is www.lbcfayette.org. May God greatly bless you, and thanks again for your interest in the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ.